But right now, it's my pleasure to welcome into the studio from Woodfine Solicitors. First of all, we've got Katie Dyer is back. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
After some time away.
It's nice to be back, though.
Yeah, welcome back. And Charlotte Benjamin. Charlotte, very good afternoon
to you.
Now, I'm guessing yours is one of the busier desks at Woodfine because you're into commercial property.
I am, yes.
And you were saying to me off air that also involves agriculture as well.
I do. I'm head of agriculture. So my experience and business includes absolutely anything to do with commercial property.
My goodness.
From farming to industrial developments to housing and anything and everything.
Now that must be, I mean, Cambridge at the moment is a real mix of all of that, isn't it? We've got huge areas of industrial and business park type stuff building up, and then matching that with a load of housing as well. We've got all the satellite developments, the Camborne West, the North Stows of this one.
Yep.
So you cover all of this?
Pretty much.
Yep. So have you got a picture on what's going on then and where the problems lie and how it's all being supposedly jigsawed together?
Well, I don't know whether it's easy to jigsaw it all together. We've got obviously difficulties with traffic management. And then add into the mix the requirement for, the technology which is developing and huge opportunities for in the tech parks around and about Cambridge. And then the huge requirement for homes, for people. So it's a bit of a quandary when it comes to planning and putting it all together.
I was going to say, it must be interesting for you because obviously whenever it comes to residential developments and you're talking about farmers here who are selling off large areas of land so that a developer can come in and go, it's a bit of a mix to get the prices all balanced together, isn't it? Because the farmers know that you can only sell your land once.
Yeah.
And the developers are going to want to make a living, but then the city council and people like that are going to want affordable housing and people have got to be able to afford to buy these things when they're built.
Yeah, well obviously affordable housing depends on how many houses that you're building, so there are quotas for affordable housing, in terms of value that's tends to be a matter for surveyors to argue the toss, and we get involved just to put make sure it all hangs together.
And it must be, as I say, I keep saying, it must be a trick. Is there a lot of agricultural land trying to be sold at the moment,
quite a lot because there's obviously a lot of land available, and developers are looking for opportunities all the time. So all farmers are getting a constant stream of inquiries from developers and people promoters who want to try and put the land to planning to see whether or not they are successful.
Now you're based out of the Woodfines Bedford office, is that right? So I guess you've got the company's got an office in Milton Keynes as well. So we've got most of this arc between Oxford and Cambridge is coming. Is there a difference as you head west?
There is a difference. The Bedford market is hoping that will be able to make the most of being in the middle of the arc, I suppose. But yes, and obviously you've got the university towns attract the cream of the cream in terms of students and brains and opportunities.
Right, so when people are talking about, perhaps a farmer is talking about selling off some land, I'm sure we've got a couple of farmers listening now thinking, I've got that old spare 10 acres out the back, which nothing ever grows on. What do they do? Do they just literally just take one look and go, well, I'll flog that old field? Or do they have to look at it in a wider scale? Do they have to take a look at whereabouts it is in relation to roads, drainage, all that sort of stuff?
They're going to have to look at it in terms of where it is. It obviously depends on whether or not there is an opportunity for planning, whether or not it's in the local plan. So the first step will be to see whether or not the local authority has actually included it, whether it's and many farmers will have put their potential sites into calls for sites issued by the local authorities over the past few years. And then it depends on the infrastructure and whether or not, obviously, if you're already near main roads and you can easily then tap into them, then you're going to be ticking the first box, whereas somebody who is, you know, hasn't got much access is going to have to overcome hurdles of access on the way.
And I'm guessing then in that case, the A14 development and the new dual carriageway bit, that's kind of changed the roadmap a bit round here, hasn't it? So suddenly now what was once a major road is now quiet as heck. The old road is the local service road, as they call it. And that presumably has opened up some opportunities for some farmers.
Yes, it has, for those who are on the A14. Yep.
Oh, okay. So that's an area to look at if you are a farmer, because it's like, last time you looked at it, might not have been quite so feasible as it is now. Does it get to be a lot of comeback, or does the farmer basically get to walk away if he sells his land? Is that kind of it then, or is there stuff beholden on him later? Is there covenants and things that he has to do?
No, it depends how the deal's structured. What most people are interested in, or potentially interested in due course, is if a developer says that he's going to build, say, 6 houses, and then obviously a small development, and then he goes and he puts planning in for 15 houses, then obviously the farmer may have only been paid for 6. So we have what's called overage, which means that there is an opportunity, if further planning is obtained on the same piece of land, for an additional payment to be made later on.
Okay. And I'm just also thinking as well, as we've got a lot of startup businesses around here. You were talking about the Agritech Park. And explain to us what the idea of an Agritech Park is.
Well, it's a park where there will be space and opportunity for medium to small sized businesses, so startup businesses in the tech industries, to come together in one place, and they will then have it's got woodland and it's in the middle of it and a park. It's very close to quite a lot of agricultural land, and so the intention or the idea is that farmers can then go into sort of joint ventures, partnerships with the technical people have ready access to farmland where they can start doing whatever experiments need to be done if we're going to do keep agriculture and food production on track and to the forefront of where it needs to be.
I mean, crikey, we do need to up our game, don't we? It's always the thing when they talk about the way the population is going, it's all about managing these resources far better, feeding more people per acre.
Yeah.
And this is a way of doing, because you do tend to think the two are mutually exclusive. Mm. Oh, he sold that land to build a business park, but when that business park is full of agricultural technology companies and surrounded by farmland, that's a good... And that's something we're seeing right here, because the cereals exhibition has been going on for years every now and again, hasn't it? So there is a lot of a lot of the stuff we eat out of our McCain's chips and our Weetabix, and that does come from round here, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it does, absolutely.
People don't realise.
Yeah, no, cereals is every 2 years, so it's in June again this year, just outside Duxford, so yes.
That's interesting stuff.
Yeah,
interesting.
And there's all sorts of things. I mean, you can the technology in farming is absolutely amazing at the moment, from drones to tractors that almost self-drive and can alter the amount of fertilizer and weed killers, pesticides, whatever that they're putting in the ground, by the square foot almost. Mm. Amazing.
Yeah, the mapping of the soil and everything is far better understood now, isn't it? When you get these sort of parks like this, though, how easy... I can imagine some companies grow bigger than others, and the trouble with all of these things seem to be, sometimes I look at the rents on some of the business parks around Cambridge, you think, I'm not being funny, that's crippling. Doesn't matter. That's money that could be spent elsewhere, or even put into your corporate social responsibility budget and spent on a charity or something. How easy is it for a company to say, all right, we're going to head off and we're going to go and buy a smaller piece of land and build our own factory? Or does that tend not to happen around here now?
It depends on the structure of the lease which they've got.
Right.
If you've got, so you'd have to build in break clauses. So, and I'm assuming that they're doing, that they will be letting the units out on manageable tenancies so that they're not long term.
Right.
To give flexibility both for landlord and tenant. Because if you're a startup, as you say, you want to be able to, if you need to then expand, you need to be able to find another premises.
Okie dokie. So what's going to be the shape of Cambridge in sort of 10, 15 years' time, the way you're seeing it? The way things have grown over the past few years, how do you see it going? Are we just going to be giving up Greenbelt? That whole stretch to the west out towards Camborne does look like it's going to become one huge great ribbon development by the end of it. Do you see it that way? Always strikes me, wherever there's a dual carriageway, it usually means there's going to be some extra houses at some point.
Yes. I hope that there will be the requirement for green spaces will be taken into account, and there will be enough green space, even though obviously we've got far more housing to be built and the requirement for housing. I would hope that some of the brownfield sites will be redeveloped, so that we're not then constantly carving into the farmland.
So things like North Stow, you're all in favour. That was a good call in your book, was it? Yeah, that's a nice. Take an old airfield and build on that. That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
So I guess in Cambridge, we're looking at Marshalls next, aren't we?
Yes, possibly.
Yeah, has that sort of got that look about it, look and feel, doesn't it? So, all right, lovely. Well, it's been lovely to meet you today, Charlotte. I mean, it must be an interesting day for you, I can guess. The machinations of getting stuff allowed and built around Cambridge must be fascinating.
Yeah. Everything, there's never a dull moment with property. Everything is varied. Never, nothing is ever the same.
But also, I guess, as well, the real need for the correct legal advice, all of this. Otherwise, you really could be, before you go, I've just got my eye on the time. What sort of things typically would someone fall foul of? We're talking about people selling or buying.
It's planning. It's knowing that you've got the right price. So it's talking to surveyors and then making sure that you've got a solicitor on board. But also, I mean, in terms of farmers, it's talking to your accountant. I deal always with land agents and with accountants as a team, so everybody knows exactly what's going on, and we don't just work in a vacuum, because that's where the problems arise, when you haven't thought about the tax implications and the value implications and everything.
No, and I mean, to the people who don't deal with the farming community, a friend of mine, his family sold up the family farm, which is just out sort of towards back out your way, actually, towards Bedford. Farms are sold on certain days, aren't they? There's like a day in every quarter where
I think less and less now. People just like to get the job done.
I heard the phrase Michaelmas come up, and
Michaelmas is end of September, early October, but that ties in with the old days on which rent was paid under the old agricultural tenancies, more and more that doesn't really occur anymore. People just get the job.
So you can. So people are thinking, I've got to wait. I've missed Michaelmas this year. I'll have to wait till Michaelmas next year. That's actually not a thing.
It depends. If you're a landowner who has a tenant in situ, then you have to serve notice under the tenancy. So it will expire on a quarter day. But the deal can be flexible.
Fantastic, lovely, Charlotte. It's been a pleasure to meet you this afternoon. It must be a really interesting job, and I can, as I say, I can imagine in Cambridge in particular, it must be a very interesting job. But thanks for coming in this afternoon. That's Charlotte Benjamin, commercial property at Woodfines. If you want to find out more, of course, woodfines.co.uk.